Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Greetings. I'm Kim Wilson, your relationship expert. Thank you for joining me. Let me start by saying, I love life. Yes, I love life and what it has taught me. It has taught me that change will always come. Our age will change. Our body will change. Time, seasons. Many times when we feel stuck and unfulfilled in life, it's because change is needed, either in one or more areas of our life. In this podcast, I'm offering 5 ways we can change our life. So let's get right to it. I don't like to waste any time. Strategy number 1, take inventory of your daily habits. Note whether or not your habits create solutions or problems. Sometimes we can have bad habits like poor time management, procrastination, and that can actually be a domino effect to other things or other unwanted outcomes and results. Because if you think about, say, this morning you woke up and you used your time to surf Facebook, Instagram, instead of preparing for your day so you don't forget anything, so you can have a productive day. So by the time you get to 2 o'clock, you realize, oh my goodness, I forgot my folder and I need that for my 4 o'clock meeting. And it's very important. It's just not negotiable for it not to be there. So now you have to travel back home to go get this folder or have somebody to bring it to you because it's not, whatever you need is not in a cloud or in an electronic format. So now it just kind of compounded different parts of your day. So when you think about procrastinating, when you put something off and off, you know, for so long, then you realize, wow, I procrastinated and I did not pay that ticket. Now I have to pay a late fee, an interest charge, and it created another problem. But if we have the habit of just staying on top of things, being on time, making a schedule, writing a list, a to-do list. Those are really great habits and it makes a difference. One of my favorite books titled 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and it's by Stephen Covey. And I think it is a really great resource to developing some healthy habits and even understanding why we have bad habits. There's a passage from the book that I want to read to you. And the chapter is called Principles of Creative Cooperation. So I'm going to start at the 2nd paragraph of this first chapter. It reads, when properly understood, synergy is the highest activity in all life, the true test and manifestation of all of the other habits put together. The highest forms of synergy focus the 4 unique human endowments, the motive of win-win, and the skills of empathic communication on the toughest challenges we face in life. What results is almost miraculous. We create new alternatives, something that wasn't there before. Synergy is the essence of principle-centered leadership. It is the essence of principle-centered parenting. It catalyzes, unifies, and unleashes the greatest powers within people. All the habits we have covered prepare us to create the miracle of synergy. What is synergy? Simply defined, it means that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It means that the relationship which the parts have to each other is a part in and of itself. It is not only a part, but the most catalytic, the most empowering, the most unifying, and the most exciting part. And I just skip down one paragraph and read this last part. Synergy is everywhere in nature. If you plant 2 plants close together, The roots commingle and improve the quality of the soil so that both plants will grow better than if they were separated. If you put two pieces of wood together, they will hold much more than the total of the weight held by each separately. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. 1 + 1 = 3 or more. So when I read that, several things come to my mind. I think about the quote, "There is strength in numbers." Nobody gets anywhere by themselves. We need people. So when we operate in isolation, when we separate ourselves from people, that is not healthy. It's not good for us. So when you think about putting two plants together and two pieces of wood and all the wood that is together that can hold you up on a bed, in a chair, or even when people get together at a table and break bread, we are more together than we are apart. So I recommend that book to you as a resource today, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Moving on to strategy number 2, be intentional about self-care. In order to take care of others, we have to take care of ourselves. And sometimes when change is needed, when we feel absolutely exhausted, overwhelmed, that is a really great time to pull back and participate in self-care so we can restore and rejuvenate. And there are several activities and tips and tools that we can use to participate in self-care. Sleep, that's the opportunity for the body to just restore some of those cells and just to feel like you're ready to go again. Exercise, food choices, just enjoying a cup of hot tea and drinking from your favorite mug. Maybe that's just me. I have a mug with the word amazing on it that someone gave to me. And I absolutely, every time I drink from that cup, I feel amazing because the message in my mind is always somebody thought of me. They paid attention to the fact that I love this word and they were intentional about purchasing this mug for me. So I always think about that. And that's me sitting inside of gratitude as well at the same time. We can also participate in self-care by making an appointment that is long overdue. Some of you know that you need to get to the dentist. You need to have that eye exam, or you need to have a mole looked at by a dermatologist, but you keep putting it off and putting it off. Or you're saying, you know what? Oh, I don't want to miss work. It's too busy. There's too much going on. Hey, take a minute to stop and take care of you, because let me tell you, if life has to slow you down, others will make a decision, especially if you work for somebody, they will make a decision to move forward because the show has to go on. The economy has to flow. The money has to flow. So I suggest that you do the same for yourself. Just being positive is a part of self-care, because making sure that the mind is well and the soul is well, the spirit feels well. So just being positive and just paying attention to our word choices that we use every day. Writing is a part of self-care. I personally believe that every person has a book, article, song, or something inside of them, because we all have experiences and every experience is worth something to somebody else. So just writing about how you feel, what you think, what you observed, it is part of self-care. It is for you. And making a decision to turn off the television, that is part of self-care. And this is my favorite. This is one I personally do every single day, and that is sit in silence. That was a time in my life when I was younger, when I was a teenager, like when I was 21 years old, I always had to have something going on in the background. I used to sleep with music because I found it to be soothing. And I always, part of that too was fear. I was afraid of the dark. Yes. I don't think I started being afraid of the dark until I was like 24, 25 years old. But yes, I was afraid of the dark, but now I'm not afraid anymore. The darkness cannot hurt me because I am the light. I know how to light up my environment at any given time. And that's the information that I have now that I didn't quite understand at the age of 19 and 20. When I sit inside of silence, I just like hearing the natural noises around me. I like hearing the birds. I like hearing them chirp. I'm like, oh my God, for me, you're giving me a free concert. This is what you're gonna do for me today, birdie? I love to hear the squirrels rustling. I love all of that. So strategy number two, be intentional about self-care. Strategy three, this is my favorite. Always choose love. Why? Honey, because love never fails. Yes, it is said that if you love abundantly, you will live abundantly. I'm like, okay, well, what is that? Well, the more you love, the more you are intentional in loving yourself and loving your loving others, it's this good energy that you put out and it comes back. So when you make a decision to love somebody with your words, with your response and your actions, it doesn't matter how they respond. What matters is how you respond and what comes back. Even though they do not respond in a way, they do not respond with love, trust me, there will be three or four people after them that will respond to you with love. They will be nice to you. They will put you first and say, hey, go ahead. I only have one item. Please go before me. You know, or, well, not one item, many items, correction. Or, you know, there's somebody who will say, hey, I thought about you today and I just want to offer three brand new books to you. And so, and it gives you a sense of peace. And when you have peace and you don't walk around with guilt, worry, shame in your heart, that is living abundantly. It's more than about material items, having all the material items you can purchase or have, but really just to feel well within your soul and to not have a worry in the world. You just feel amazing. And let me tell you, I have been intentional about designing that for myself for years now. When I wake up in the morning, I do not wake up with pain in my heart. I do not wake up with anger in my heart. I really wake up saying thank you for something. That's the first thing that I do. When I stand up on two, I'm thankful for the fact that I'm standing on two. I'm thankful for the fact that I have vision, I have hearing, and all of that is me loving me and loving the fact that these opportunities and luxuries have been granted to me. And that really goes back to positive thinking and strategy too. It all works together. The nine components of love are patience, kindness, humility, courtesy, generosity, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. So let me just take a minute to hang out with patience. A few weeks ago, I was at a popcorn stand purchasing some popcorn, and there was a mother and daughter standing in front of me. So the little girl she looked to be 3 or 4 years old, and she opened up her hands to her mother, like asking for a hug or as if she wanted her to pick her up. And it's like, mommy, mommy. And the woman instantly became irritated. She pushed her hands out of the way and said, no, turn around. And she looked the other way. She just really seemed agitated by the fact this little girl wanted her affection. I thought, oh gosh, everything inside of me wanted to go over to her and offer a different way to handle that moment. Instead, I opted to take that moment and teach others, just in case there are parents who feel overwhelmed and frustrated in a moment like that when they are in public and that emotion turns into a response that sends out a signal of somebody not being wanted or loved or accepted. What I would have told that mother is, you know, this is a great opportunity to teach her patience. I just would have held her hand, just grabbed both of her hands and said, patience, daughter. Patience means to wait. I'll be with you in a moment. Or even when she explained that to her, to bend down and get eye level. And she would have been doing a couple of things in that moment. One, she would have been affirming her by acknowledging her and getting eye level and just touching her hands. So she may not have picked her up and offered her a hug, but just the connection of that skin to skin contact by holding her hand and saying, patience, looking her directly in the eye. So just being intentional about the way that we handle people. And that's choosing love, because that would not have failed her. So when you think about the way that she did it and in a public place, I just kind of looked away after that. I did not lock eyes with the girl. But if the little girl would have made eye contact with me, there's a possibility that moment would have made her feel bad because somebody witnessed her mother rejecting her call request for her affection. And that moment could have meant something else to her. I can't say what that moment did mean to her, but I can just tell you what I observed as a human being. And I certainly would have recommended and suggested that she did something differently. So moving on to strategy 4, we can't ever talk enough about this one. Strategy 4 is know your worth. You talking about having some life changes. If you have floated through life not really knowing your worth, not knowing who you are, not knowing the value that you bring, just that piece right there can change your life instantly. Let's just say you've been working at this job for 10 years, for 15 years, and you have not had many pay raises, pay upgrades, and you have not had many promotions. Because somebody in leadership or management thought that you would be better in a certain position, and your request for promotion have been constantly denied. Well, when you write down a list of your skill set and what you bring to the table, and you do your research on what everything is worth, and you put a plan together and say, you know what? I choose this over here. I choose to pack my skills up and go over to another company. Or even when you go to a leadership team and say, hey, I have X amount of years of experience here, 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 here. And I know that this position can demand up to such and such. And if they say no, they're not on board with that, because you know your worth, you certainly can let them know you will be looking for other opportunities, or you can quietly look for opportunities. And then when you're ready to transition, you make a decision to transition with dignity and thank the team, the company, for extending an opportunity for you to work in that position, but you are now moving on. And if they want to keep you, they will offer you more. But if your time is done, they will not put up a fight, and that's okay. You don't take that personally. You just go on to thrive in your new opportunity. So knowing your worth, even in relationships, anybody just cannot have you. Everybody just cannot be your friend. Everybody just cannot be your coworker. Everybody just cannot be your neighbor. You know, you get to choose your neighbors, because you get to choose the neighborhood that you live in. You get to choose your job, which leads to you choosing your coworkers, and you certainly get to choose your friends. We can't choose our family members, but we can certainly choose our friends. But what we can choose is, when it comes to family, how much time we share with them, what we allow them to deposit inside of us, or what we deposit inside of them. And when I'm talking about deposit, I'm talking in terms of, sometimes with family members, we can sit in the energy of judgment. Sometimes the energy can be toxic, especially around certain family events. And so you certainly get to control whether or not you want to be around that, because your time is worth more than just sitting inside of conflict. Moving on to strategy 5, believe in yourself. I just love this one. A lot of times we want people to believe in us, but we don't believe in ourselves. We're walking around with messages like, I can't do it. It's not going to happen for me. Or I don't have enough experience for that. Or I don't think they will accept me. One of the ways that you can change your life instantly is change your thoughts. And really, all believing in yourself is all about your thought pattern, what you believe about you, what you know to be true about you. You know, are you resilient? Are you happy? Are you a go-getter? And even if you are a person who wastes time, that can be corrected. That can be changed. Just believing in yourself that you have the ability to do it. You can last. You can be strong. You can stand up for yourself. You can say what you want and what you need. You do not have to stay anywhere where you don't want to be. And I always recommend, and I always suggest, being where your heart is. You know, if your heart have left the building and you're no longer in love with your job or certain tasks, or, you know, even your clothes, you get to change that too. Just change it. You know, make a decision to change. And a lot of times we won't make a decision. So believe in yourself. And I'm going to end with the quote. Well, before I do the quote, let me just hit the strategies one more time. Strategy one is take inventory of your daily habits. Strategy two, be intentional about self-care. Strategy three, always choose love, because honey, love never fails. Strategy four, know your worth. And strategy five, believe in yourself. And I want to end with this quote by Gandhi: be the change you wish to see in the world. That's my time. Thank you for listening. Hey, well, not hey. I want you to come and watch me live if you are in the area. I have been invited by an organization by the name of Epic Orators Toastmasters to do a keynote speech on February the 11th, which is a Monday. It's going to be from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Wolf Creek Library. I'll be talking about relationships, creating solutions and not problems. The registration details will be in the episode notes of this podcast, or you can go to my website and get to the registration link that way, www.kimwilsonspeaks.com. If anybody has not told you today, let me be the first to tell you, you are amazing. Onward, upward, and beyond.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.